الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سورة الفاتحة It is the first surah of the Holy Quran. And there are many specialities and khususiyat of Surah Al-Fatiha. And one very important khususiyat or khasiyat and special feature of Surah Al-Fatiha is that the Holy Quran begins with it. And the fact that the Holy Quran begins with it, the Holy Quran which we have in our hands, it means that the Holy Quran, the Kalam of Allah which is written on Lawh Al-Mahfuz, also begins with Surah Al-Fatiha. It opens out the Holy Quran. It opens out the ulum of the Holy Quran. The entire Holy Quran, the final revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the greatest revelation of Allah, which is the greatest book of guidance, opens up itself by introducing Surah Al-Fatiha. That is a khasiyat of Surah Al-Fatiha, a special thing about Surah Al-Fatiha. And another special thing about Surah Al-Fatiha is that it is that surah of the Holy Quran which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to be repeatedly recited in all our salat. In all our salat. Whether the salat is nafil, optional. Whether the salat is sunnah. Whether the salat is witr. Or whether the salat is farz. Every salat must be recited with Surah Al-Fatiha. If Surah Al-Fatiha is not recited in a surah, the salat is not recited in a salat, the salat remains naqis and incomplete in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one angle, when we look at Surah Al-Fatiha and the mazameen and the topics that are discussed in Surah Al-Fatiha, we will realize that it is true what the mufassirin have mentioned, that Surah Al-Fatiha is like a text for the Holy Quran. And the entire Holy Quran is a commentary of Surah Al-Fatiha, Allahu Akbar. That Surah Al-Fatiha, it is like a text for the entire Quran. Like you open up something and you see a text, like you see the contents of a book. Surah Al-Fatiha has that manzala and status of the Holy Quran. Why? Because the maqasid, the entire maqsad, the object, the purpose of the entire Quran is based on two principles. Iman wa amal salih. Iman in Allah and good actions. Bas. That is the message of every Nabi. And that is the message of every kitab that was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether they are the Psalms of Dawood alayhi salam, or the Tawrat of Musa alayhi salam, or the Injil of Isa alayhi salam, every book, every scripture that was revealed by Allah, it's based upon iman and amal salih. Iman in Allah, faith in Allah, proper faith. And what? And doing good actions. So, in order to cause us to believe and have faith in Allah, Allah has brought some occurrences of the Day of Judgment. Allah has brought some of the ahwal and the situation of the fire of hell. Allah has brought some of the situations and the conditions of the people of Jahannam. Allah has brought the conditions of the people of the past, how they were punished by Allah for not believing in Allah. But why has Allah brought all these things? So that people may bring faith in Allah. So the maqsad, the objective of the entire Quran is iman wa amal salih, iman, belief in Allah and righteous actions. And both these foundational principles of the entire Quran are discussed in Surah Al-Fatiha. This is what Surah Al-Fatiha is about. It speaks about hamd and thana. It speaks about tawheed. It speaks about faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, it speaks about doing righteous actions and doing good actions. It is for this reason, Surah Al-Fatiha is called Ummul Quran, the mother of the book. Allahu Akbar. The mother of the book, the foundation of the book. One, it is called Ummul Quran. It is also called Ummul Kitab. One, the mother of the Quran, or the head and foundation of the Quran, and also the mother of the book. Of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is also called Quranun Azim, Allahu Akbar. That Surah Al-Fatiha is so great that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, wa innahu huwa Quranun Azim, that it, the surah itself is Quran Azim. The surah itself is the great and the glorious Quran. That name can only come upon Surah Al-Fatiha because of the greatness of Surah Al-Fatiha. It is for this reason the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, authentic hadith, that the like of Surah Al-Fatiha has not been revealed anywhere. The like of Surah Al-Fatiha was not revealed in the Torah, in the Zabur, the Psalms, or in the Injil. Nor the like of Surah Al-Fatiha, nor has it been revealed in any other part of the Quran. Any other portion of the Quran. The like of Surah Al-Fatiha is not there. But it is only in this place, in the beginning. This is why, according to some Mufassirin, Surah Al-Fatiha is called in the Arabic, in the Holy Quran, Allah calls Surah Al-Fatiha Saba' min al-Mathani, or Saba' al-Mathani, the seven repeated verses. And for two reasons it is called Saba' al-Mathani, the seven repeated verses. Allah says that it is called Saba' al-Mathani, seven repeated verses, for two reasons. One, Surah Al-Fatiha was revealed twice by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Twice. One, as a revelation from the Quran to teach the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as just a portion of the Quran in Makkah. And the second revelation of the Holy Quran took place in Medina when Salat became compulsory. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was now ordered that he must recite Surah Al-Fatiha in his Salat. It was revealed again for the second time. This is why it is so called Saba' al-Mathani. First reason. The second reason it is called the seven repeated verses, it is because it is the only surah that is repeated in our Salat. No other surah. No other surah. You read it in the first rakat, you must read it in the second rakat. You must recite it again in the third rakat and in the fourth rakat. In every one of your Salat, you must repeat it. This is why, this is the reason also it is mentioned that it is called the seven repeated verses. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the like of Surah Al-Fatiha has not been revealed in any other place, not even another place in the Holy Quran, except at this point. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said in another hadith that Surah Al-Fatiha, hiya Surah Al-Shifa, it is a surah for all cures. Allahu Akbar. It is a surah for all cures. Through the blessed lips of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Surah Al-Fatiha, that Surah Al-Fatiha, hiya Surah Al-Shifa, it is a surah that is a cure for all illness. In another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Surah Al-Fatiha, it is the greatest surah of the Holy Quran. It is the greatest surah of the Holy Quran. Compared to even Surah Al-Baqarah, compared to Surah Al-Imran, all these other large and long surahs of the Holy Quran. But just a simple Surah Al-Fatiha with seven easy verses that the smallest child might know by heart, the Prophet says it is the greatest surah of the Holy Quran. And it is the very first surah that was revealed in its entirety by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first surah that was revealed in its completion by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The very first complete surah to come on the face of the earth from the heavens, to come from Lawhul Mahfuz. But the very first verses was surah, the five verses of Surah Iqra, Surah Alaq, اقرا بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الانسان من علق اقرا وربك الاكرم الذي خلق الانسان. Those five verses of Surah Iqra were the very first verses to come on the face of the earth, to come to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After that, a few verses of Surah Al-Mudathir were revealed. Ya ayyuha al-Mudathir. Then a few verses of Surah Al-Muzammil were revealed. But only few verses. But the first complete surah, then it was Surah Al-Fatiha. From beginning to end was Surah Al-Fatiha, revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its completion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. These words, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, it is an ayah of the Holy Quran, but not an ayah of every surah. It is an ayah of the Holy Quran, the ayah of Surah An-Nahl, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident of Sulaiman alayhi salam, when Sulaiman alayhi salam wrote the letter to the queen of Sheba, Bilqis, and he began the letter by saying, وَإِنَّهُ مِن سُلَيْمَانِ, that this letter is from Sulaiman. وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, and this letter starts with, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. And it is a khususiyat of only the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So much so that before the revelation of Allah started, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he used to write to begin anything, he used to say Bismillahi Allahumma, or bi ismihi ta'ala, in the name of Allah who is great. But with this phrase and in this system, by saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, this is a khususiyat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was not given to any ummah because of the great meaning. Many of the mufassirin, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has spoken about the greatness of bas Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, only Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كل أمر ذبال لم يبدأ ببسم الله فهو أقطع أو هو أبتر, أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that every affair, every good affair which begins not with the name of Allah, it remains incomplete. It is void of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is deprived of the barakat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every affair. So it was the custom of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that everything he did, he started it with saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, or Bismillah. Whether he's eating, whether he's combing his hair, whether he's putting on his sandal or his shoes, or whether he's putting on his clothes, whether he has begun to walk, whether he is now going to sit, whether he is now going to get up, whether he is now going up on his animal, everything he started with Bismillah. And that is what he taught us. And this also is in fulfillment of the prophecy that was given to Musa alayhi salam so many centuries before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the face of the earth, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam that I will raise from among their own people a messenger in whose mouth I shall put my words, and who shall begin in my name, who shall begin in my name. And exactly whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to do, he started with the name of Allah, in the name of Allah, Bismillah, every action. And he told us that every affair that we are doing, if we do not start it with Bismillah, in the name of Allah, then it remains incompleted. So when we begin something and we do it with Bismillah, we see the amount of blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in it. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In Bismillah there is the word Ba. After the word Ba, The word that comes next is ism, and ism means the name. And Allah is Allah. Ar-Rahman, the most compassionate. Ar-Rahim, the most merciful. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ba in the Arabic language comes for three different reasons and for three different things. Ba is for musahabat. Musahabat means togetherness. So when you say Bismillah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and the ba in the Arabic language is it is used for musahabat, then you are saying, together with the name of Allah do I begin. Bismillah. With Allah's name do I begin. Ba also is for isti'anat, to seek help. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah do I seek help in beginning whatever I am doing. In beginning what I'm doing. In to start. Ba is for tabarruk also. When you want to seek blessings from someone. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the blessings of Allah's name do I begin, who is most gracious, most merciful. So the ba is used for three different reasons. And the real meaning of musahabat, when you say with the name of Allah do I begin, the mufassirin have mentioned and given us the meaning, the real meaning of what the ba denotes. It could have started with fi ismillahi ta'ala, which literally means in the name of Allah. Fi means in, ism means name, Allah means Allah. Fi ismillahi ta'ala, in the name of Allah. Or it could have been in any other thing. Aqra'a bi ismillahi ta'ala, I begin to recite in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the secret and the real meaning and the inner meaning of the word ba, when it is used here by saying bismillah in the name of Allah, is that we entrust ourselves in the hands and in the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we say to Allah, oh Allah, with you and with your name, do I begin to do whatever I am doing. For without you, I cannot do it. And it has the meaning of entrusting oneself to the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, entrusting oneself to the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our ustaz has given us a very beautiful example, the great mufassir of the Quran, Allahu Akbar, who has been blessed with the tafsir of Quran, and he gave us a beautiful example of understanding the way bismillah, when we say oh Allah with your name, what is the meaning behind it. When we always ask Allah, we take isti'anat and we say oh Allah with thy name or with your name, he says it's exactly like the same thing is that when you have a young child who has been harmed by another person, and the first person the child turns to is the mother or the father. And if someone is to hit that child and the child is crying, the child will run towards the arms and the bosom of the mother and say, mommy, save me and protect me from that person. And the child feels protected in the arms of the mother, even though there may be many people around, but the first person that child will run towards is the mother, because of that contact and that closeness, and also because of the fact that the child believes in his mind or her mind that no one besides my mommy or daddy can help me against that person who hit me. He says it is the same thing, that we entrust ourselves into the arms of Allah, not literal, metaphorical. We entrust ourselves in the total care of Allah and say, oh Allah, bas, whatever I am doing, it remains incomplete without you, oh Allah. I entrust my everything into your arms and into your care and into your protection, that you may take care of me, that you may protect me, and that you may bring completion to whatever I am doing. So we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, oh Allah, with your name, with your blessed name, oh Allah. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Both words almost have the same meaning. Ar-Rahman, which is mercy. Rahman and Rahim, to be merciful. But Ar-Rahman has more mercy in it. This is why it is translated as the most compassionate. Allah is compassionate upon the believers. Allah is compassionate upon His creation. Allah is Ar-Rahim, Allah is the most merciful. And two different explanations is given for the word Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. One is that Ar-Rahman refers to Am Rahmat, general Rahmat of Allah. For Allah's mercy extend to the believers. Allah's mercy extend to the unbelievers. Those people who believe in Allah, Allah sends a sustenance to them. Those people who deny Allah, Allah sends a sustenance to them. Those people who fight against Allah, Allah sends a sustenance to them. Those people who reject Allah, who wage jihad against Allah's deen, who wage jihad against Allah's prophet, who wage jihad against Allah's scriptures, who wage jihad against Allah's command, but all of them Allah sends His mercy to. Allah gives them to eat, Allah gives them to drink, Allah sends the wind for them so that they can breathe. Allah sends good times for them. Allah gives them comfort and luxury in this life. These things are all from the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in that manner, Allah's rahmat is am and it is general. It is given to everyone. And Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahim means tam rahmat, complete and perfect rahmat. And what is the difference? That Allah's rahmat comes to everyone on the face of the earth. But His complete rahmat is only given to some of His special servants. His complete rahmat. For what we are seeing on the face of the earth today, according to the hadith, is only 1% of Allah's mercy, and 99% is stored up in the hereafter for the believers. So what we see people enjoying, what we see coming to people, what we see people taking into themselves, what we see people living with, the Prophet says it was only 1% of Allah's rahmat. 99% He has stored up in the hereafter. And on the day of judgment, He will pull back this 1% which He has distributed on the face of the earth, join it with that 99%, and His 100% of rahmat will extend to the believers on the day of judgment. This is why it is also called Ar-Rahman, refers to the am and general rahmat of Allah, and Rahim refers to the khas and special rahmat of Allah. Because while Allah's rahmat may extend to everyone, everyone gets a part of Allah's decision to feed His entire creation. But Allah's decision to give an extra special thing will only be given to those people who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this world, comfort and luxury in this world is no criterion to determine who is more closer to Allah. Had it been so, the Anbiya's of Allah would have been the most comfortable people living on the face of the earth. Because they are the nearest and closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Fir'aun would have been the most humiliated person on the face of the earth. Because he is the worst enemy of Allah that have ever visited the face of the earth. The only person to have said that he is above Allah. The only person. The only person to make that claim. All the rest of them, they have been bad, they have been wicked. They have persecuted and tortured the believers. But they have never said, Ana Rabbukumul A'la, I am your Lord, the mightiest, the highest. Only Fir'aun said that. But although he said it, he lived a life of comfort and luxury. He was given power to kill. Because a messenger of Allah is one, a person who has been sent by Allah. Whether he receives a revelation from Allah or not, that doesn't make him a messenger. Once he's deputed by Allah, go to that locality, but he's a messenger from Allah. So, what happened in the past is that one Nabi and one Rasul is there. But under him, there are many other prophets who are deputed to different localities. They get their information from him. They get their wahi through him. They get the sharia from him. And they take it to different lands and different places. So many of them existed one time. Many of them. They kill, some of them kill 40,000 in the morning and 30,000 in the evening. Na'uzubillah. It is for this reason Allah asked them in the Quran, why do you kill the Anbiya بغير حق without a just cause? Why do you kill them? What is the reason? So, the Anbiya were persecuted in the worst manner. Isa alayhi salam, he did not have a place to rest because the people will not leave him in peace. Zakariya alayhi salam, he was cut with a sword from the middle of his head and his body was separated in two parts. And as soon as the sword struck his head, he said, ah! Allah said to him, do not groan. If you groan again, your name will be removed from the list of the Abiyas. Bas, take it. That is your sabr. Yahya alayhi salam was beheaded. He was beheaded by the people. And they were the closest people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah's rahmat that comes to people is a general rahmat. Everyone will get a part of it. This is not something special. This is not something complete. This rahmat touching a person is no, as I said, it is not a criterion to say that Allah has given this person his special rahmat. Because people, other people who disbelieve, atheists, deny Allah, they live in comfort and luxury, while the close servants of Allah live a life of, let's say, in the eyes of human beings, hardships and tortures. But when the everlasting luxury and comfort comes, Allahu Akbar, when there is such a luxury that the Sahabas themselves used to say, Allahumma la aisha illa aisha al-akhirah. Oh Allah, there is no comfort except the comfort of the hereafter. Oh Allah, there is no luxury except the luxury of the hereafter. What is this world that one day there is a day of happiness and the other day is a day of sadness? What life is this that today we are laughing and tomorrow we are crying? What life is this that today we are enjoying and tomorrow there is death? What life is this that we are happy and tomorrow we are buried in the dirt 6 feet? What life is this that today we have millions and tomorrow we are pauper? What life is this that today we are healthy and tomorrow we are unhealthy and we are sick? Today we are eating, tomorrow we are on drips. Today we are walking, tomorrow we are crippled. Today we are walking, tomorrow we are lying permanently. What type of luxury and comfort is this? This is no comfort. This is no luxury. So the Sahabas used to say, Allahumma la aisha illa aisha al-akhirah. Oh Allah, there is no comfort except the comfort of the hereafter. Then what they said, فَغْفِرْ لِلْأَنْصَارِ وَالْمُهَاجِرَ. So, oh Allah, forgive the Ansars and the Muhajirin. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful dua. And they were reciting this when they were putting down the foundation of Masjid al-Nabawi. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, when they decided to build a masjid, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself used to help lift up the rocks and the bricks and put it one another. And they were helping, and they were building the mosque, and they were singing among themselves, Allahumma la aisha illa aisha al-akhira, fa'ufir lil-ansari wal-muhajira. No Allah, there is no comfort and luxury except the comfort and the luxury of the hereafter. So forgive the Ansars and the Muhajir. So Ar-Rahman is the Am Rahmat. Everyone gets it. And if an unbeliever, can live a life of sin in iniquity and live a life of transgression and still get something to eat, then my dear brothers, if we need something from Allah, we need something much more than that. Allahu Akbar. Eh? If a man can commit sin and still get from Allah, then we need something much more than that. Then what can the believers get when they have sacrificed their life? When they are sleepy, they rub the sleep from their face, touch the cold water to stand in ibadat in Fajr Salat in the morning. When they will sacrifice their tiredness and stand for Maghrib and Isha. When they will sacrifice their hunger and thirst to fast for Allah. What type of rahmat that will attract? What type of rahmat and mercy that will attract? This is why Allah's Rahman, Allah's Rahmaniyat and Allah's Rahmat, which will come to the believers, it is Tam Rahmat, complete Rahmat, 100% Rahmat, which is present in the word Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahim. So what type of rahmat is that? Allah will turn to an unbeliever on the day of judgment and say to him, you did not believe in me. Whatever you have done on the face of the earth, you got it. Now there is permanent and everlasting fire of hell for you. There is no mercy from me. La tanzur ilayya. Do not even look towards me. There is permanent and everlasting abode in the fire of hell. Allah will turn to the believer and say, my servant, you did a few wrong things, but your belief in me was strong. You sacrificed everything for me. Today, I will forgive you of all those wrongs, and I will send you in the everlasting bliss of the Jannat and the gardens of paradise. Such a place that after that there is no harm, no injury, no sorrow, no worries, nothing. Nothing. That is Allah's rahmat. So on one side, Allah's rahmat came to this person, but that man will think now, that man will want to give back to Allah all his rahmat that Allah has given to him on the face of the earth for just one part of Allah's rahmat on the day of judgment. He will wish to give back to Allah everything, oh Allah, take whatever you have given me on the take it back. But I need that 1% of your rahmat today on this day of judgment. So the Quran says, Yawaddu, each of them will want to ransom the world and whatever it contains and whatever they have worked for in the life. 10 times the world, they will want to run from to Allah and say, oh Allah, we give you this, but give us a mercy today. The Quran says, nothing will be accepted to them. No ransom will be accepted. No intercession will be accepted. No help they will get. And this, Allah begins the Holy Quran with two of his beautiful qualities, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. To show us, my dear brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's our Khaliq. He's our creator. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is our master. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is hakim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the supreme governor. Allah is the one who can take us to task for every single thing. But Allahu Akbar, above every single thing, Allah is Ar-Rahman and Allah is Ar-Rahim. Allah is the most loving. Allah is the most compassionate. Allah is the most merciful. Oh, what people say? People say that Jesus is love. If a human being can possess such love, what do you think about the creator himself who created this human being? What type of love that this person will possess? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Hadith Qudsi, that O son of Adam, you will commit a sin, you will make tawbah, I will accept your tawbah and forgive you. You will commit another sin, you will make tawbah, I will accept your tawbah and forgive you. You will commit another sin, you will make tawbah, I will forgive you. You will continue to do that until you become fed up of doing it, but I will not become fed up of forgiving you, O son of Adam, Allahu Akbar. I will never become fed up. I will never become fed up. And when a human being becomes fed up, you can imagine the amount of times he may have done it to become fed up. And Allah is saying, "Bas, you come, I will do it." Allah will never become fed up. So we can imagine the quality of Allah's rahmat and Allah's mercy. And that mercy is extended to the believers, khas, special, on the day of judgment. So Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, the Quran opens with the sentence that whatever it is, O believers, Allah is saying, O my servants, recognize me, I am the most compassionate, I am the most merciful. Whatever you have done, because it is addressed first of all to the Arabs, they were the first addresses of the Holy Quran. And who were the Arabs? People who were sunk into jahalat. People who worship idols the entire life. Some of them are on the brink of leaving the world. For years, for centuries, for whatever it is, for decades, they have been bowing before a stone. They have been bowing before a carved object. They have been bowing before the sun, before the moon. So Allah says to them in this ayah, being the first thing to be addressed to them, whatever you have done. It was in jahalat. No, Allah is most compassionate. He is forgiven. He will forgive you. But you accept Allah and turn to Allah. That's all. Leave that turn to Allah. Allah is Rahman. Allah is Ar-Rahim. And look at the qualities that Allah begins with. That Allah begins with. In the very first chapter of the Holy Quran, when Allah says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdu, all praises. All praises. Lillahi, they are for Allah alone. All praises. Lillahi, they are for Allah alone. Rabbil Alameen. Who is the Rabb? The closest translation you will get for the word Rabb, which cannot really be translated in its exact meaning in the English language. It cannot. Because Rabb does not have the meaning as creator. Rabb does not have the meaning of sustainer. Rabb has such a great meaning, which is inclusive of so many of Allah's attributes. Allah is the Rabb and the Lord of all the worlds. All the worlds. All the worlds. Alhamdu, Alif Lam in the Arabic language is used for many different reasons. The Alif Lam can be used for istighraq. Istighraq means entirety. Alif Lam is also used for ta'rif, for the definite article, the, T-H-E. So in the Arabic language, if we are to say a man, we will say rajulun, rajulun, a man, a man. But if you want to bring that to the definite article and say the man, you will put alif lam and say al-rajulu. Masjidun means a masjid. But if you say al-masjidu with the alif lam, it will mean the masjid. So the alif lam is used for that in the Arabic language. And alif lam is also used, as I said, istighraqi entirety. And it is used here for istighraq entirety. What does it mean? It means alhamdu. Hamd means praises. And it means all the praises. All the praises in the heavens and in the earth. Whatever the human beings can think of. Whatever the jinnats can think of. Whatever the malaika can think of. Whatever the ambiance can think of. All those praises are only for one and one person. Lillah. They are only for Allah, not for anyone else. Not for anyone else. So the praises we can think of in our minds. Sometimes we'll say, I thank you so much. Praise be to you, the size of the heavens. Praise be to you, the size of the heavens and the earth. You know, that amount of praise is due to you. But then we say, whatever praises exist in the heavens, in the earth, beneath the earth, above the heavens, whatever praises that people can praise, all those praises are only fitting for one person, and that person is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lillahi. And the other tafsir is that whatever praises are given to anything, in reality, those praises are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We look at flowers. And we learn, turn to the flowers, we say, flowers, how beautiful are you? How sweet. How sweet the flowers are. So indirectly, we kind of praise the flowers for being sweet. We praise the fruit. We say, oh, this fruit is very sweet. It's so sweet. You know, indirectly, we praise the sweetness of that fruit. We praise the sweet scent of the flowers. We look at a very beautiful building and we say, wow, look how good this man built this. Indirectly, it is compliments and it's a type of praise you are giving him. You know, that, oh, you are really good. You are a genius. You have done such a good work. Allah is saying, in reality, though these things take compliments, in reality, who does all these praises belong to? Allah. Allah. Who has put the beautiful colors in the flowers? Allah. Who has put the beautiful sweetness in the fruit? Allah. Who has given the man the intelligence to build this beautiful building? Allah. So in reality, Allah, it is Allah. Allah alone that all these praises belong to. So this is why the very first verse begins with Alhamdulillah. All praises are due to Allah alone. And when all praises are due to Allah alone, and nothing, nothing, whatever it might be, nothing whatsoever deserves any 1% of that amount of praises, then when nothing deserves that amount of praise, why, O human beings, do you worship other things when they are not worthy of praise? And when Allah alone is worthy of all praises, then why, O human being, you do not worship Allah? So in the very first verse that is sent out to mankind, it speaks about the tawheed of Allah, that Allah is alone. And since He is alone, He deserves all praises. Nothing else in the heavens or in the earth deserves all praises. And this is a dawah. In the Arabic language, we say it is a dawah, a claim. So Allah is making a claim that out of every single person, out of every single being, you have the Anbiya's, you have the angels, you have the prophets, you have the jinnats, you have the so-called things that people attribute greatness to, the stones and the mountains and the wind and the sun and the moon and the water. Water is the source of life, so you begin to worship the water. Everything depends on solar energy, so you find yourself worshipping the sun. The cow gives you milk, you find yourself worshipping the cow. Na'uzubillah. You see greatness in all these things, but you have not recognized the greatness of Allah as yet. Na'uzubillah. How is that? How is that? So Allah says, out of all these things, thousands and millions, there is only one being who deserves all the praises of the face of the earth and the heaven, and that person is Allah. Why should Allah deserve all those praises? Why nothing else should deserve any other praise? Why shouldn't all these natural phenomena deserve the praises? Allah tells us why. So the first is a dawah. Dawah means a claim. And the other statement of Allah is the argument and the dalil and the evidence for that claim. Why does Allah deserve all praises? Because Allah is Rabbil Alameen. Allahu Akbar. Allah is Rabbil Alameen. And Allah is saying, if there is anyone who is a Rabbas, you can worship him. But the thing is, no one beside Allah is the Rabb. No one beside Allah is the Rabb. Rabbil Alameen. Allah is the Lord of all the worlds put together. All the worlds. All the worlds. Let us understand what is Rabb. And we will realize that there is not a single word in English that can be equal to the meaning of Rabb. Creator means someone who has created. Bas. So Allah has created the heavens, so He's calling. He's a creator. Allah gives us our sustenance every day. So Allah is who? Razik. Giver of risk and sustenance. But that Razik and Razak is only confined to giving of sustenance. He is the giver of sustenance, so He is Razik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Sani. Sani means the one who has made everything. He has made it. Creation is another word besides making. Allah created clay, but then Allah took that clay to make something else. So He is Sani. Allah is Badi'. Badi'u samawati wal ard means the originator. It's possible you can create something, but it doesn't necessarily mean you were the originator of it. You are the originator. But Allah's quality is the originator. When the world was nothing, when the heavens were nothing, when there was absolutely nothing, Allah originated everything. Allah is the originator. Badi'u samawati. Every single word tells us of a different action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so too, Rabb tells us of a different action. So Rabb is something separate from being a creator. It is separate from something being someone being a sustainer or a nourisher. Rabb in the Arabic language means taqliq tarbiyatu shay or taqliqu shay. Tarbiyatu shay, the bringing about of something from one stage to another stage until it reaches completion and perfection. That is what the quality of Rabb means. Let us understand it. Allah has created us. That's mashallah. So He has created us in the wombs of our mothers. So Allah is our Khaliq. Allah is our creator. But what meaning does Rabb has?
the meaning of rububiyyat in Islam, in the sight of Allah, that Allah is Rabb, Allah is the Lord of everything, is that Allah has taken the same thing which He has created through several stages until He is completed. So Allah took us from the stage of dirt and made us into the stage of a semen, a drop of liquid. And then Allah has taken us from that drop of semen and made us into a drop of blood, a clot of congealed blood. And He has taken us from the clot of congealed blood into another stage, into a lump of flesh. And then from the lump of flesh, Allah took us to another stage, in the status of only bones. And then from that state, Allah has taken us to another state where He clothed our bones with flesh and muscles and veins. And then from that state, Allah blew the ruh and sent the ruh into us, making us a different being from what we were before. There is life. There is largeness, enlargening of that, the embryo in the womb of the mother. And then after that, Allah took us out of that darkness of the womb of the mother into the light of this world. And when we could not even chew a single thing, and when our digestive system were not so strong to digest any hand food, Allah caused our nutrition to be milk for 2 years. So we lived on milk for 2 years, so Allah has taken us from that stage. He let our bones become hard. He let our flesh become more. He let our features become developed through milk alone, only milk. And from that state, we started to choose small things. And He took us to childhood, and we are growing. And then from childhood, Allah took us to another state of adolescence. And from adolescence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took us to adulthood. And after adulthood, we are still moving. We are eating Allah's provisions. We are drinking Allah's provision. We are breathing Allah's air. We are living a life because Allah has given us health. And after adulthood, Allah takes us into an age which is called the old age or the senile age. An age where our bodies become weak. Our mental ability becomes weak. We are forgetful. We cannot remember. Allah takes us to that state. And after that state, Allah will take us to the grave. And from the grave, Allah will take us to the barzakh. And from the barzakh, Allah will take us to Yawm al-Qiyamah. And from Yawm al-Qiyamah, it is either Jannah or Jahannam. Allah is Rabb. That's the quality of Rabb. Taking someone one stage to another stage and not leaving them alone. Not leaving them alone. That Allah was there for us in Alam al-Arwah. Allah was there for us in the wombs of our mother. When we came out, Allah was there for us. We couldn't eat. And we continue to grow. And when we go in the grave, Allah will be there for us. And when we go in barzakh, Allah will be there for us. And we hope to get Allah's mercy on Yawm al-Qiyamah, so you and I may enter Jannah, inshallah. That is the quality of Rabb. No English word can give you that description of Rabb. Not even Lord can give you that description of what Rabb means in Arabic. This is why reminding man of his ihsan upon him, Allah chooses to bring as an evidence of this claim, to bring this to say, oh man, look at your origin. Who gave you that origin? Who brought you, oh man? He is Allah, your Rabb. Bas, He is your Rabb. Then, oh man, why have you turned against Allah? To bring that word, Rabb, is to bring to our senses something. After all, who took me through the stages? It is Allah, our Rabb. So, inshallah, we'll continue with Surah Al-Fatiha next week.